Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your Huckleberry.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
The Fan.
Hey, the judge, everyone. One by the one. Look, here come the judge. Watch, here he comes.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague on a Friday. Your Fridays are going well. We're heading into a three-day weekend. If you're not, I'm sorry. But I'm going to enjoy the hell out of Monday. We'll Sprague the line coming up, bottom of the hour. Get your fake sponsors in, or you got a few of them being sent. Talk some Peyton Manning at some point. He is the new hot commodity in the broadcasting world.
Monday Night Football, you look so good.
Do people think he'll be a good broadcaster? I'm curious. 55305. But I did want to start with this, and not to get all like intense and get to a touchy subject, but it's on my mind because the season has officially begun, and we've had texts about this. We've had tweets about it today. Mike's had it in his SportsCenter updates. The Oregon State baseball season has begun. Today is their first game. They are playing New Mexico, and they are currently up 5-2 in the top of the eighth inning.
Go Beavers. How about that?
Go Beavers. How about that? And the question that I have, not to relitigate the whole story, because I don't want to do that right now.
Right.
I'm just curious how Beaver fans are approaching, from a fan standpoint, the situation of Luke Heimlich being on the hill. He pitched today, started 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, struck out 4, and he is out of the game now. They've gone to the bullpen. They went to the bullpen in the 7th. So he threw 6 innings today, and he's in line to get the win, his first of the season. What are the emotions for you as a Beaver alum, knowing he's starting opening day?
I mean, emotions. I'm weird. I'm not the normal diehard Beaver fan with baseball. I've never been shy of this. I support the hell. Pat Casey's been an incredible coach. Those two national titles were a lot of fun. But I tend not to follow college baseball very closely as I do some of the other sports they have.
Yeah.
Overall, my feeling has not changed about Luke Heimlich. When the story originally came out from the Oregonian, and then even with the Kerry Agers piece that came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I kind of actually walked away from both those with the conclusion that if you put those together, that whole piece, those two pieces together as one piece, it makes a little more sense.
Yeah, that's
from
like
both
the,
angles.
That's like the full story.
Right. It's a backside on Heimlich, the family.
Sure.
And then you get like the proceedings in court and everything that happened. But my overall feel has not changed. Good luck to Pat Casey and the Beavers this year. When he's on the mound, I'm not going to root. I'm not going to root against, but I'm just, if we go to a game, we have an annual tradition. We've been going to a Beaver game once a year.
Yes, we do.
You, me, Swag.
Yeah, we like to go down and have some beers and watch some baseball.
If it just times out that way this year and we go down and he's on the bump, I'm not clapping. I'm not going to boo the kid. He's done what he needed to do. Society says when you do what is asked of you and you pass it with flying colors, you get another chance.
Right.
He's done that. So go out there, do your thing. I don't have to cheer for you. I'm not going to boo and root against you, but I just don't have to cheer for you. And that's basically my opinion. When the original story came out, I disagree with a lot of Beaver fans because it just did not like the way that everything was unfolding. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Agers piece thrown out there, there was another one thrown out there from a different website. You get some more information, but ultimately my view and feelings have not changed on this topic. Go Beavers, but when he pitches, I'm completely numb to anything that happens. So I'm not rooting for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a unique thing to follow this year because I know a lot of Oregon State fans have dug their heels in defending him. And, you know, it's almost like two different conversations for me, because one is I feel like there's a chunk of fans still arguing his innocence, that he did nothing wrong and it was a witch hunt by the Oregonian. And look at the Yeager's piece. It proves that he was innocent the whole time and he's got this religious background. Right?
Like I don't think that piece proved he was innocent.
I didn't think it at all. And I think that crowd loses me. The other side of it, though, too, is, as you mentioned, he is an example of what we want our criminal justice system to do. Like, if you think of a juvenile committing a crime, what is the goal for the way that they are punished? It's so that they can learn from what they did.
He's a great rehabilitation
story.
They pay the
punishment,
right?
And they are rehabilitated back into society.
Yes.
So I feel like it's like a whole bunch of different conversations in one of how did Oregon State handle it. Some folks are trying to argue his innocence, which just that argument gets completely lost on me. And then it's the, well, he didn't pay enough of a punishment or he shouldn't be allowed to pitch. And to me, that's a whole different conversation than about what the judicial system should look like, because he paid his price. He went through everything that he had to go through, and there has not been an issue that has cropped up since then. And it's one of those really difficult things, I think, to talk about. And it's a tough story for everybody to follow. And it is going to be the cloud hanging over the Oregon State baseball team all season long. Like, this one's not going to go away. He is their best pitcher. He was their best pitcher last year.
Yeah.
They are the number two team in the country coming into this season, and everybody thinks that they have a chance to win a national title this year.
Remember, he didn't pitch at the end in their playoff
run. He didn't pitch
run.
In the World Series.
No.
I don't think, or in the regional. I can't remember if he pitched in the regionals or not, but I know he didn't pitch in the World Series.
I remember he got introduced in their last game in Corvallis. And
okay.
He got a standing ovation, and that really bothered me.
Right, and
like,
that really bothered me. In the heat of the moment, that was a really bad look. But it's just something that Oregon State fans have to accept, because this is going to be an issue, and it's not going to go anywhere all season.
No, and you know the feeling, I guess, on the text line is kind of what I expected. You know, you get some people, and a couple of these are Beaver fans, absolutely disgusted by it. They're disappointed, and they're not going to root for him.
Yeah.
And then you get a couple other people that thought the Oregonian did a smear job and they didn't do their due diligence in journalism. That's kind of why I say, you know, you could read the Kerry Yeager's piece. And I remember listening to Isaac and Suk talk about this. Mm-hmm. And Suk made a good point of, like, you read it and you just wonder, why is the religion thing being brought up?
Why is that a
right?
part
like,
of it?
What is that actually giving us information for?
Nothing to do with the story.
No, but I think if you combined the two, of the backstory, of the pleading guilty, the family. Like, if you combine those two stories, it should be the story. And then you take that for what it is. If you walk away and you go, well, maybe his family was a bunch of simpletons and they made him plead guilty because they just wanted this to go away, fine. I can't make you have a different opinion. If you say, dude, if you're innocent, you never plead guilty to that case, to that that charge.
It's one of the most heinous things you could be.
Yes, it's the worst
accused
thing.
Accused of.
Yes, and you pleaded guilty to it. So people don't care what your religious background is, or that maybe your family wasn't smart enough to convince, you know, whatever your opinion on that is. I still think those two pieces combined are one big piece, and that's the whole picture. But my feelings have not changed. And it's a weird place to be. You were kind. It wasn't the same thing, obviously. But like when the Altman and the rape stuff was going on, it's a very strange place to be.
It still makes me uncomfortable as an Oregon basketball
right.
fan. That has not gone away from me.
Because Altman basically he admitted that he had did some things wrong, right? And we all know that not everything was done in that instance. Your team was in the Final Four last year, and I'm not saying this changed anything about that team and that run because you went to Phoenix, but there's an element that when you see it, sometimes you're reminded and you're like, God, that's a weird thing, you know?
Right.
And I deal with that now.
Right. And it's the reason why when you're a fan of a team, you never want to throw rocks in a glass house, because at some point you as a fan will have to go through something like this. Because right. I know Oregon State fans, they took a lot of shots at Oregon fans for the way they, you know, celebrate Altman and Final yes. Four runs and the success of the program. How dare you do that?
Right.
Well, now the shoe's on the other foot. And it's the same token. There's a lot of Oregon fans out there that now take shots. How could you do that? Beaver fans, how could you support the, you know, we all have to go through this at some point or another as fans. And I think the only message that I would have for any fan out there, because I go through this as an Oregon fan, as you just mentioned with their basketball program, and I still go through it to this day, is to you have to try and take the glasses off and think about the situation. If it was happening on a team that you did not root for, how mm-hmm. would you feel about the story? It's almost it's the same thing we were talking about yesterday with like politics. Like if somebody in your party does something, you don't care, but if somebody in the other party does that same exact thing, yeah. it's how dare you? Like Republicans tried to impeach Clinton, and they did impeach Clinton in the 90s for cheating on his wife and lying about it. Well, look what's going on now. A lot of stories out there, but there's not the same level of outrage from one side, and that goes both ways. And I think it's important to. I think in every walk of life, it's important to take a step back, take the fandom away, and say how should I feel about this story and the fact of what baseball team or basketball team or football team they play for should be the last point that you consider when you're trying to determine your feelings about it.
You know, and I had an Oregon State fan that text the fan text line at 55305 and said, at what point, Sprague, do we give the kid a pass in 20 years? For example, you're at the same store and he holds the door open for you. Are you not going to say thank you because of his past? What's the difference between his success on the mound and his success 20 years from now? Mm-hmm. And again, it's hard to put into words, but I don't wish any ill will towards the kid.
No.
Or kid, I'm, you know, the
he's
20,
whatever,
21,
he's 21,
20,
22.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't wish ill will towards him. I guess I would simply say I don't have to root for him. I'm not rooting against him. I'm indifferent. And that's an odd place for me to kind of be in. Especially as a father of two daughters. But I would also just say it's a situation where I'd almost want to talk to him directly about it. I don't believe he had any quote in that Eggers story, right?
I don't believe so, no.
And
it was all quotes from therapists and doctors and family
I don't think
members.
He's had any sit-down story interview with yeah. anybody. And there's a lot of questions that need to be asked and answered. And
right.
until that happens, if it ever does, maybe it does if he goes to the big someday. But until that does, I can't help but change. I can't change the way I feel
right.
about it.
Right.
You know, 20 years from now, I don't know. But right now in this moment, it's a weird place to be.
Yeah. So Oregon State's baseball season started today. Luke Heimlich was on the hill. They are winning 5-2 in the eighth inning over New Mexico. Heimlich pitched through six innings, gave up two runs, and that's the start of their year.
I know we're way over. So I
yeah.
one final two thoughts. I think what you brought up should be reiterated one more time. He is an example of rehabilitating what he was going through and what he was. He's a good example of don't completely give up on a human, right? And then the second thing is, I guess part of this that comes back is when that story originally broke, and that was the only information we had, I was really disgusted with Oregon State. And, I'm in debt to Oregon State. I met my wife at all that, right? I was really disgusted that they thought it was a smart idea at a home game, the first mm-hmm. game after that story came out, to introduce him on the Jumbotron. And he got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
That is about as upset with anything Oregon State. That is the most upset I think I've ever been at Oregon State. It's not remotely close. That one is what really still kind of sticks in the back of my mind. How disappointed and upset I was that day.
Hmm.
And it's not completely fair to everything, but that's still... That thought and that memory and feeling still pop up.
Yep. So an interesting story to follow throughout the course of the year. And just appreciate the thoughtful text on that. We got a lot of them at the fan text line at 55305. Let's lighten it up a little bit. Peyton Manning in the booth. What do you think? Is he going to be good on a call? And should he go to Fox or ESPN? Next on The Fan.
I saw.
Hey, we got a Sprague the Line coming up bottom of the hour. Get your fake sponsors in 55305. Who's going to win the 3-point contest? Dun, dun, dun.
I remember the first time I took Lucy to a night.
Little Albert King for your Friday. I'm ready for a beer. I don't know about you.
You know what? And Mike made a good point. Like, pretty even keel, but thoughtful text at the
yes.
fan text line today. That topic can really piss people off.
Oh, it triggers all sorts of fandoms and folks.
Yeah.
Which I get, man. We're all fans at the end of the day. Like, we all have responses like that.
Topics like that, I mean, that's transcending sports. And now you're going
it really
to
is.
Territory of...
Well, I think the whole offshoot of that, too, is getting into the difference of opinion in terms of what the criminal justice system is supposed to do. Because, like, I'll just... Let me read back-to-back text here, okay? Somebody said, are you saying criminals who committed crimes in their youth should be pariah for 10 years, 20, life? Was his sentence not already finished?
Right.
Which is the argument. He paid his price.
But see, I thought I already said that. Like, he paid his debt.
No, you did. I know. Yeah, I think he was mishearing you a little bit.
Okay.
Literally the very next text. There is no rehabilitation for a child molester. I did 15 and a half years in prison, and they do not change. There was something wrong with their wiring. And that's why it's such a complex issue, because you're talking about, like, this is what we want from our judicial system. We want them to be rehabilitated and put back into society. You're not going to lock them up for life for something, no matter how heinous it is,
right,
at the
right.
age of 15 that they do. But it was the crime that he is accused and pled guilty of committing. Like, if this was armed robbery and he pled his time or did his time and got out, is this still an ongoing story? If right. it is... If he stole a car, if, you know, whatever the case may be, it's not the same. The crime makes it really tough for people.
I also think the other, it's already a complex thing. I think the other part that adds to it, Dirt, is Jared from Subway gets busted for this, you know, child pornography and goes to prison. POS, never want to see him again. He's almost a 40-year-old man. Heimlich is what, 14?
He was 14 or 15 when it happened.
13 when
yeah.
this started?
Yeah.
You just, where is the line for it? You know what I mean? Where you can be rehabilitated if you believe that you can for something like that, versus you get a Jared Fogle and it's go the hell away in a dark hole somewhere.
Right.
Nobody cares.
Right. And then there's, you know, the whole issue of how much Oregon State knew and how they handled this. There's a lot of different offshoots to this conversation, but
I still don't think we have all of the details
to
it.
We don't. No, Casey hasn't done, I don't think, an in-depth interview about this.
He doesn't really like talking about it.
And he probably never will, to be honest with you. They'll just dodge questions. They won't do a lot of interviews. Heimlich won't be made available to the media. At some point, he's going to have to talk to major league teams about it, though, because he could have been a first-round pick last year without this story.
Oh, he would have been probably a top 15 pick in the draft.
He would have been gone, but he's back this year. So how about this, though? This is another story just to lighten the mood a little bit. There's a two-network race for Peyton Manning. Now, in the after Tony Romo had a great debut year in the booth and everybody loved him, he is the number one target for both ESPN and Fox. ESPN is far more aggressive in its pursuit, the New York Post reports. They were willing to, quote, back up the truck and go all out to get Peyton Manning as their Monday Night Football analyst, of course, after John Gruden left to become the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. And he had a salary of more than, I think, $6.5 million or something. He made a ton of money.
He was the highest paid employee by ESPN.
Yeah, when he was at ESPN. And you think Peyton Manning would be a good color analyst?
I don't know. How can we assess if he's... We asked this about Romo, and didn't know.
We did. We asked it about Romo and Jay Cutler, because they both took jobs in broadcasting.
We never heard Jay Cutler. We may, because we don't know what the future holds for Jay, but we kind of got an answer from Romo. I know the play predicting thing wore on some people at the end of the year, but for the most part, it seemed like most people were in on Tony Romo calling a game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what kind of commentator Peyton Manning would be. He clearly has a really good personality. Does he bring a little comedic relief to it? Is he go super serious football guy and just break stuff down?
Right.
Does he have the Romo enthusiasm? He's like, oh my God, Jim! Jim! Does he have that? Or
can he criticize people?
I don't know if he will.
That was the issue with John Gruden, a lot of folks had, is he never said a negative thing about a player.
And that wasn't an issue with Romo. Romo did not hold back.
Yeah, he didn't have a problem doing it.
He liked to make fun of Blake Bortles a little bit.
He did, and that's like the threshold that you have to be willing to cross to be deemed a great analyst. You have to be willing to criticize.
I think that's why Gruden got to me.
Sure. I love this guy. Look at this guy.
Right.
What a great play by this guy.
I'll tell you what, man.
I love this guy.
Like, Blaine Gabbert was
truth. Right. I liked Gruden, but there was a certain limitation to how good he could be as a broadcaster because he couldn't be critical. A lot of athletes get this when they go into the sports radio world as well. It feels weird for them to be on the other side and being an armchair quarterback. Some people just can't do it, and Gruden was one of them.
Are you surprised he might make this move and go to TV instead of maybe doing the front office thing like Elway, or hell, even going to Hollywood to do some stuff?
It depends on how much money he makes, because it sounds like Fox wants him for their Thursday night football game, so it's not going to be as much. But at least Thursday night football's, you know, you're working technically one day a week.
Aren't you doing that with Monday Night Football?
Yeah, but people are saying Monday night is more grueling because the preparation process is more what ESPN. That's just what I read in the sporting news today, that Thursday Night Football, it's kind of a throwaway game for Fox, but ESPN, all their production value goes into Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
It's not their primetime game of the week.
Well, the interesting part, too, is Manning, they're going after him on ESPN, and it also sounds like they might be trying to get rid of McDonough.
Yeah, they're considering replacing him with Tessitore, Steve Levy, and Dave Pasch.
Ooh, of those three?
Do people not like Sean McDonough? I like McDonough.
Sean McDonough's great.
I think he's great.
I just don't think he had a good rapport with...
You think the Gruden thing wasn't good?
I just don't think Gruden liked him. So,
then
I think
awkwardly,
that's what hurt it. So Gruden's gone. Give McDonough another partner. Let's see. McDonough's really good.
Do you think McDonough wants to do it? I think part of this is they're not sure McDonough's really in on doing football.
How would you... He was the college guy before this.
I don't know.
Yeah. I thought McDonough was great on Monday Night. I loved him on College Games too.
What were those names? Tessitore, Levy, and
Tessitore, Steve Levy, and Dave Pasch. I like Levy as an anchor. I don't love him as a play-by-play guy.
I like Pasch. The idea of Pasch.
Sure. And I'm not a big Joe Tessitore.
None of them are NFL guys, though.
No, none of them are. Well, McDonough wasn't, to be fair, before he took over, because ESPN only has the one NFL entity, so they don't have a chance to be NFL guys. They just have Monday Night Football.
Yeah, you can't build a stable of football guys.
Like Fox and CBS, you wear how many NFL games every single week, and you got to have a bunch of different broadcasting crews. They don't have that there.
Not a big Tessitore fan.
Neither am I. Boxing, sure. Like him calling a fight night video game or something, I'm on board with it. But there's something about him that just didn't translate to college football for me.
What about Musburger? Bring him out of VSIN.
I would love
Musburger and Peyton Manning.
I would love that.
You are looking live.
That would be one hell of a broadcasting booth right there.
He's giving Musburger a wet willy.
He's kicking him behind like he did to Eli in those commercials during a call. Damn it, Peyton.
Do you think he makes the decision to go to broadcasting, or do you think he backs out?
I think he takes the ESPN job. I think ESPN, if they're willing to back the truck up that much, like if they offer you if they paid Gruden $6.5 million and they're saying they're going to back the truck up, what if they're paying him $9 million a year to come? How do you turn that down?
He's not going to get $9 million, but like even $7 million is like, damn.
You're calling 16 games. And potentially not a playoff game, because ESPN could lose their playoff game with all these TV deals going down. You got 16 games, well, a couple of preseason games, I guess, but for $9 million a year, that's not bad work if you can get it. So Fox and ESPN chasing down Peyton Manning, considering replacing Sean McDonough with Tessitore, Steve Levy, or Dave Pasch, and he would either be on Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football with Fox. All right, get those fake sponsors in, 55305. Let's lose some money on the All-Star Game. Three-point contest, dunk contest, who's going to win the game, MVP, all that next. But first, here's Mike with SportsCenter.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Spragging the line.
Spragging the line.
Spragging the line.
Spragging the line. Just one time around this time. We didn't want to go two. Just one time.
Breaking the line. Sorry. I zoned out for a second.
You quit on me. You have one good round. You just quit on me.
You did it so well that second time. I said, I don't want to follow that up.
That is true.
Spraying the line.
Hey, Spraying the line brought to you by the FBI. They can beat 50 basketball teams and multiple Hall of Famers in one game. Spraying the line brought to you by baseball. So close a couple times, but hey, I saved you a dollar. That one's pretty good. Oh, no, you almost got it.
Oh, you almost got it.
That's one of my favorite memes, if you will, is when they do like the team that loses the championship and that guy's got the trophy at the end of the fishing rod. Oh, Tom, you were just right. They had that one with the Brady catch and he was like right there and the guy had the trophy at the end of the fishing rod.
The first five times that commercial ever aired, I was dying laughing. You almost got it.
I saved you a dollar. Spring and Line, sponsored by All-Star Weekend. Hard to believe the start of the NBA season is right around the corner, only a couple of days after the start of baseball.
Hey, come on.
Sprague and Line brought to you by eSports. Sprague is so bad at picking normal sports, now he's picking fringe sports.
Well, this is true.
You should gamble on eSports. Can you gamble on eSports, Mike?
I have no idea.
Why can't you?
That's a valid question. I don't know.
It's a sport, right? Can you pick it? Can you bet it? Yes. Let's do it.
Give me Team Dallas. Sprague and Line brought to you by, oops, sorry, there's someone at the door. I got to go. It's the FBI.
Yeah, root for Dallas, Kurt. There you go.
Yeah, see, I listened yesterday. Sprague and Line brought to you by, where did this go? Sprague's Sex Life. Just because you're not getting any doesn't mean you can F over the listeners with these picks.
Ouch. I do take it out on you guys with my picks. I'm sorry.
Sprague and Line sponsored by Worms. Pulling 14 worms out of your eye. Isn't that impressive? Sprague pulls three picks out of his you-know-what every week.
No humans ever done it like me.
Sprague and the Line sponsored by time travel. If time travel really did exist, you think Sprague would be making these picks?
I like that. Probably still would make that mistake, yes.
Sprague and the Line brought to you by my Valentine's Day average. It's pathetic, but it's still better than Sprague's picks. Sprague and the Line brought to you by Sean McDonough. You'll cry like I did in my farewell to John Gruden after Sprague's bets lose you all your money.
Ouch. Okay.
We got some more. We'll get to them. You want to do some gambling on the All-Star game. And
I mean, yeah.
It's the only thing we got to gamble on, really.
Let's stop beating around the bush here.
But
I'm not legitimately going to gamble my money on NBA All-Star.
No, it's okay. You still can make picks, though. We'll have fun. We'll make fun of you losing your imaginary money if you lose your picks.
My Monopoly money.
Nobody can remember what you gambled on last week, but I'm sure you lost it, but I don't really know.
We did Olympic medals. It's not over yet.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Calm down there, Chief. I lost it.
All right. Give me some NBA All-Star bets here.
Okay. So I actually just want to ask, do you guys have a favorite for the three-point shootout? Your contestants.
Yeah. Please tell me who's in it.
I know you don't know.
No clue who's in it.
Wait. Can you guess three?
Steph Curry?
No.
Klay Thompson?
One.
James Harden?
No.
Boy,
there are two players in this. I guarantee I could give you an entire day to name players and you would never name them.
Reggie Miller.
Okay.
Larry Bird.
Okay. Devin Booker.
Okay. I like that.
Paul George. Bradley Beal.
Is Paul George a good three-point shooter?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It's like 46?
I did not realize that about his game.
47%, yeah.
Learn something new every day.
Bradley Beal.
Okay.
Klay Thompson.
Kyle Lowry.
Eric Gordon. And the two you would never guess, not in a million years, Tobias Harris and Wayne Ellington.
Who does Wayne Ellington play for?
Dos! Minutos!
He's a Miami Heat.
He's a Miami Heater. I remember
Wayne Ellington in college.
Do you know what team Tobias Harris is on?
No, I do not, Bob.
Okay, he was just traded.
Okay, well, who did he get traded to?
The Clippers, correct?
I love that Dirt's kind of showing that he hasn't been watching the NBA either.
No, I don't follow general NBA that close.
All right, he's a Clipper. Not that it matters. Who are you picking?
Give me Devin Booker.
Okay.
I love watching Devin Booker play.
He's a fun player.
Like, he is of the terrible teams. If you give me one reason to watch the Suns play, I went to the Blazers Suns game last time they were here. It's my first time getting a chance to watch him in person. That dude, he's a lot of fun, man.
Okay, Mike, who are you going with?
Klay Thompson.
Man, bold pick there, Mike.
Well, are any of these really? I mean, unless you go Wayne
Ellington. How do you predict the three-point contest? You're either on and you're not.
Dude, it's gambling. I don't know. How do you predict anything? I just go with the gut.
Did anybody else? I'm assuming Tobias Harris went from Detroit in the Blake Griffin deal.
The Blake deal, yeah.
Did anybody else know Tobias Harris played for the Detroit Pistons? Has anybody out there before? The serious question, 55305, okay? And you can't answer it, so turn your mic off.
Okay.
55305, before Blake Griffin was traded to the Detroit Pistons, do we have any listeners that had watched a Pistons game this year?
Can I turn my back on?
You can turn it back on now.
I'd be willing to bet unless they played the Blazers, no.
And I don't think they played the Blazers yet. Oh, no, we did play in Detroit.
With Blake.
Outside of that game. Well, that was after the trade. You're right.
Yeah.
So that doesn't count. Before that trade happened.
Most sports fans, no. I'm going to vote no here, Bob.
Giving me a hard time about not knowing who Tobias Harris played for.
All right, so Mike's got Klay. You're taking Devin. I like those picks. I'm going to go with Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon, okay.
Eric Gordon hoists about, 35 threes a game because they try to shoot 150 in Houston.
Okay.
We got some prop bets I want to pass along. Odds, Larry Nance Jr. wears a vintage Cavs or Suns jersey in homage to his father in the dunk contest are 1-3.
Yeah, this is going to happen.
You think he's trying to happen?
Have you seen the story? And I kind of hope they do this. He's trying to unretire his dad's number.
Oh, really?
I believe his dad's number is retired by the Cavs.
No. I had seen I'd heard a different story.
I know he's trying to wear his dad's jersey, but there's like an issue there. And I thought it was because it was retired.
Okay.
And he's like trying to say, hey, let me take it down from the rafters and wear it.
All right. So you're taking the yes there. Odds one of the contestants uses a cell phone as a prop in the dunk contest is 20-1.
Ooh. Who was the Saints wide receiver that did that in the end zone?
Brooks. No, not Brooks.
Brooks was the quarterback.
Joe Horn.
That's right.
I love Joe Horn.
He hid the phone in the padding.
Joe Horn was one of my favorites in his prime.
I think the phone trick's overplayed. I don't think a phone gets
it. It was cool when phones flipped up.
Yeah.
And they were just starting to catch on.
He had the flip phone.
Right.
Right into the ear hole.
Over under most consecutive 3-point makes in one round of the 3-point contest. This one's interesting.
Ooh, okay.
10.5.
11 in a row. That's more than, there's what, 5 balls per rack, right?
Yeah.
I think 4 and then the
4
money
and
ball.
The money ball.
Money ball.
Clay just makes 2 and you're like, oh, here we go. Same with Booker probably.
I'm going to say this is false.
It's an over-under.
Or under, sorry. I'm going to go under on that one, Bob.
Ah, the
good
listening.
Good Lord. Mike, you going to take the over under?
I'll take the under.
You make me not want to go on.
Like, you're going to go false too.
You make me want to have you just go to commercial. I'm going to go false. All right, this is the last one.
Well, Dirt City hates All-Star Weekend, and it's prop bets on All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, so I know.
Where are we going with that?
All right, here we go. Odds, I got 2 more. Okay. Odds, Kevin Hart makes a joke about Patriots losing the Super Bowl during his pregame introduction in the Celebrity Game. 12-1 odds.
Does it happen if nobody watches?
I mean, it still does, yeah. You give me one?
I like how this has turned into me making bets.
Dude, forget you.
It's turned into you being awkward about making bets.
It really is turning into you into awkward about these bets.
This is supposed to be your segment. You're the gambler here, not me.
No, I'm going to say no. He doesn't. Okay. All right, here's my last one. We'll move on because Dirt has completely derailed this into awkwardness. The 2018 dunk contest, your contestants are Dennis Smith Jr., Oladipo, Larry Nance Jr., Dennis Mitchell. Your favorite is Dennis Smith Jr. at -105. Oladipo's +150, okay. Nance Jr. +225, and Dennis Mitchell,
yeah,
+350.
I'm going to take Larry Nance.
Okay.
He's a lot of fun to watch.
You mean Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, you said Dennis Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was thinking Dennis Smith.
I'm reading, CBS screwed something up. I was reading the odds for it.
Okay.
CBS put Dennis Mitchell. I don't even know why I read it just like that, too. Donovan Mitchell is my pick.
I'm going to pick Larry Nance, actually. I have a feeling about him. He's got this, like, lanky...
Yes.
Who is the guy... Who's the guy...
McGee?
No. Who won it, like, last year? Who's on the Bulls now? I can't remember.
Oh, Levine.
Zach Levine.
Aaron Gordon.
He reminds me of Zach Levine in terms of, like, his body type, so I could see him
being
lanky.
I like those picks. I will say Nance Jr. with the third worst odds and Donovan Mitchell with the worst. I like the two worst odds to win it.
Yeah, those are good.
+350 is a good bet.
Good odds right there.
I think Donovan Mitchell can get up.
Okay, there you go. Sprague and Lie brought to you by Laura Ingram, because Sprague should stick to sports radio, not gambling tips.
Stick to dribbling.
Go bounce a basketball. Sprague and Lie brought to you by the NBA All-Star Game, bringing you the towel-waving skills contest. Put your money on Myers. Sprague and Lie brought to you by Bob Ross, because Bob Ross is awesome. That's why. Sprague and Lie brought to you by
Bob Ross shout out.
Yusuf Nurkic. Even my flops are not as bad as Sprague's picks.
That's true.
There you go. Good sponsors today, folks. Good segment. We hit that one out of the park, Sprague. Well done.
False.
False. What's the best pair?
Over under. I'll take false. I'm pretty stupid.
All right, hey,
I thought that was the other one. Where did the one go from you thought I was hot or whatever?
You know what Swag does? Swag deletes the cuts on that side of the page.
Oh.
If they're on the other side, he doesn't touch them. On that side, he deletes them.
Well, there's no space to put it, so I just put it there.
I'm sorry.
By the way, nobody has seen the Pistons play a game outside of people who play NBA 2K18. They're trying to count that. And Ryan says, Detroit still has a basketball team? They do.
Stan Van Gundy's still drinking Diet Pepsi.
They have a protagonist and an antagonist?
They do. There you go. And as one listener says, I guess C. You always guess C, folks. C gets degrees. All right.
False.
True American success story. We'll answer the poll questions next on The Fan. There you you go. Fist bumping your way into the weekend. That's how we do it every single Friday. Somebody texted in, said you guys need a beer. Yes. Yes, we do.
Yeah, my my enthusiasm for this show, 11:35, Dirt turns and goes, I just want to go get a beer. Okay. Let's do this, baby. It
turned out to be an okay show, though, right?
False. I'm sorry. That's going to be one of my favorite moments.
Give me false.
Over under.
Give me false.
10.5 makes. I'm going to go false. Like, not even within 10 seconds.
We did have a funny...
That could just mean nobody's going to make a three the entire contest.
See, right? Maybe I was going that way. Mike's onto something here. There was a Sprague and the Line sponsor brought to you by Dirt. Dirt's the only smart one amongst us not listening to Sprague's picks. I'm going to go false, Bob. Yeah, I don't know. I give you false. Okay, quick thing here before we get to the American success story.
I think we really need to get to this success story.
Let me just read this real quick. There was a RG3 funny response. He put something on Instagram today. It was like a picture of him in a Browns uniform playing. And there was a Brown fan who responded, I'm sick of RG3. Why am I still following him? You know what RG3 responded? Because I'm responsible for your last win.
Ooh. Rip the Band-Aid off quick.
Ooh. Okay, that hurts. Now to the American success story. Belle Knox is her name.
Does that name ring a bell to anybody out there? Belle Knox.
Sure, some of our single folks, maybe.
Don't overlook the married folk either.
That's true. This is one of those, you know, like strippers and porn stars will always tell you, you know, what are you doing this for? What are you saving up your money for? I'm gonna go to college.
Med school,
right? Well, how about this? She actually did it. She's 22 years old, and she put herself through Duke. By performing in porn.
She was a porn actress, yes.
And now she is enrolled in New York Law School and has enough money, and she is she's done with the biz. She did porn to actually go to college.
Yes.
And she's going to be a lawyer.
Most of these individuals usually say they're not going to do anymore, and then they get back in, but good for her. She followed her dreams, you know? She got through. Duke is $60,000 a year, by the way.
It's a lot of money.
Law school's even more. She did something that knew she would benefit from financially. Not all of us agree with that morally, but she did it, and she stuck to her word. She quit once she got into law school.
Yeah. That's interesting. How about that? That's one of those that had actually, like, lived up to it. It's somebody who said it, and they actually did it.
You know, the unfortunate part for her, though, she doesn't even use her real name. Belle Knox is not her real name.
No.
It's Miriam Weeks. They're saying that they think she's going by another alias in law school, and she's probably going to have to do that as she's hired as a lawyer because, I mean, unless your employer doesn't care that you did porn at some point. But
Right. That's going to be an issue, I'm sure.
Right, yeah.
Somebody's not going to hire her because of it.
Well, good for her breaking the mold there a little bit and saying, you know what? I'm going to live up to what I said.
Yeah.
Doing this for school.
Next time you're at the rack, you know, they're not all lying. Maybe one of them's telling you the truth.
Yes. Don't just assume.
Right? What are you doing this for? I'm going to go to med school.
Cinnamon might really want to go to law school.
So there you go. An American success story. That's a good way. Good way to end the week. We had a couple of poll questions up today at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. And let me go back and follow a couple of them up. What free agent quarterback most entice you if the contracts are the same? 53% went with Teddy Bridgewater, 26% A.J. McCarron, 21% went with Sam Bradford. How about that? Overwhelming for Teddy Bridgewater. That surprised me a little bit. I figured Bradford would be the winner. Are you going to watch the All-Star game on Sunday? 49% said nope. 37% said on and off.
Yeah.
14% said absolutely, should be fun.
I think on and off is a pretty accurate description.
Right? Are you buying that the Golden State Warriors are vulnerable? 50% said yes, Houston can get him in the Western Conference Finals. 31% said nope, nobody's got a chance. 15% said Cleveland. 4% said Boston. And then finally, the fun one, if the A's move to Portland, keep the name or change the name? 54% say change it. 46% say keep it.
You keep it. It's one of the originals.
One of the OGs. Cool old story.
Everybody have a good weekend.
Yeah.
I'm out.
All right. Me too. Talk to you guys on Tuesday.
False.
False. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Thanks for being a part of our Friday. We will talk to you Tuesday at noon. Number one is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.